Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
After a near month-long hiatus, the Initial Reaction podcast is back on the air. It's not my fault, by the way. I'm J.R. Radcliffe from Lake Country Publications and now newspapers.
And from under the bus, my name is J.P. Kidoran. I am still alive.
Do you get good sound quality from under the bus?
Even though I've been ran over just now, but I'm okay.
Well, it kind of is my fault, too. It's been a very hectic few weeks as we ramp up toward the high school football season for both of us, for our various outlets. JP has been out at practices left and right in the Fox Valley, so up and down, I should say.
You've been sitting on your butt in the office just making a few phone calls.
Child, please. I've been working hard. We've been putting together two football sections.
What?
In addition to preview pages in our papers that will come out on Thursday, so there's a lot of football preview action that's been going that we've been working toward. Some of that stuff,
when
by the way.
When does it premiere?
Well, some of that stuff, by the way, is now available as of today at lakecountrynow.com.
What?
Yep.
Mind blown.
I doubt that. So, so a lot to talk about. Football begins on Thursday. The big battle is Arrowhead against Homestead for the third straight year. The two biggest area programs for the most part, in Division I anyway, battling it out. You have been, though, to practices all over the place, to the Fox Valley, but also in the Milwaukee area.
I have.
So I'm curious, as a boots on the ground sort of guy.
Oh yeah.
Give me three or four things that you have observed that that we may not know otherwise, JP.
I have no idea. No.
That was a quick segment. Let's move on.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I am in and out of these places to get our product done for our preview show is coming up Wednesday night.
Ooh. What time? What time Wednesday night? On
7 o'clock. We have a half hour for Milwaukee teams, half hour for Valley teams. So
I was in this preview one time and have not been invited back.
We switch it up. Sometimes we've had, you were on a panel with, who were you on with?
I don't know. I was by myself when I
were you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've done a panel. We've done just interviews of reporters. We've done a lot of different things.
I don't expect to be invited back.
Playoff preview shows. We have not done preview
Someone should
shows.
Invite me to that. I'd have a lot to say.
It was really fun the year that we did it.
Well, I'm
really
glad.
Fun.
I'm
yeah,
sure
you missed
guys
out.
All had a lot of fun.
No, it was me and Bob Raynard and Matt Menzel because they provide play-by-play services.
They
for
do probably
games.
Have a little more knowledge than,
so,
than
it was
I do.
Good. The point of that was to say that, I mean, I can't go to a practice and decide who's going to be good. I mean, this is what I can do. I can say that some of the, like, my most enjoyable practices actually would surprise you. The Kakana Galloping Ghost
yes!
was one of my favorite practices that I attended.
Are you just trying to make me feel good because
no,
they are
I
my
even,
alma mater?
I even tweeted, like, against you as I was there.
I saw that.
I said, I took a picture of the school and said, how could a place so great produce somebody so average?
Now, point of order, you said a place so big, not a place so great.
Great in size.
You may have meant to say great in stature.
God, go away. I'm trying to make a point here. I'm trying to answer your question.
Well, hurry, let's get to it.
Kakana had a very, very amazingly well-run practice with what I believe is the right amount of intensity. It was good coaching, you know, yelling when necessary, but never yelling just to yell. So I really enjoyed going there. Where else? I mean, I think I went to 16 schools in a matter of 5 days.
That's intense.
Six schools in the Appleton area in one day alone. But we've been all over. I mean, we've done preview shows in the past that have been, you know, here's a conference, here's who's going to be good, here's a player to watch. And that just kind of gets boring and it gets wrong, too. I mean, nobody can really predict high school football. As much as we know that Kimberly is an absolute power, and Arrowhead obviously used to be, you know, 2.5 years ago. They won their two titles and then a runner-up finish.
Sure.
You know, as much as we know that they're a program that's running really well right now, we don't know what's going to happen this year.
Yeah.
So So we decided to do more feature things like going to a school like Kekana, which isn't very good, but hopes to be good. And so we did other stuff like that. We visited Milwaukee King this year.
Yeah.
After they got their first playoff win since 97,
yep.
I want to say.
Beat Menominee Falls last year, 14-0
in the
first round.
Yeah, and the first city team to win since Riverside got all the way to the state semis, so some stuff like that. We visited Greenfield, talked to the Fighting Joe Cooks over there. and then a lot
the Hustlin' Joe Cooks, I believe.
Ah, that's true. And then a lot of individual stories about guys like Tristan Pipp, Luke Benshaw, Sam Ritz from Franklin. It was all over, man. It's exhausting work for you people at home.
And Luke Benshaw is at Grafton, correct?
Correct.
And they're a big story because the former Homestead defensive coordinator, Fritz Rauch, is now the head coach at Grafton. So, and the North Shore is this wide open race this year. It's kind of hard to pin down who the best team would be. But we're going to get a look at his old stomping grounds, Homestead, right away on Thursday when Homestead faces off with Arrowhead again. It's at Arrowhead. Homestead has won each of the last two seasons in the regular season. Last year, I considered them the favorite. The year before that, I considered Arrowhead the favorite, and it was a very big upset, I would say. I think 13-7 was the score. This year, I think it goes back into the Arrowhead is favored camp, but that doesn't mean we know what's going to happen. Are you going to be there? I mean, it's what a great way. Last year, we had Cedarburg-Greendale to kick off the season, and that was an overtime game. Turned out to be great. I love the fact that they're finding ways to get these great season opening Thursday night games to sort of kick everything off, because this game, once again, is going to be one of the biggest games of the year. You're going to get it right out of the chute.
Yeah, I don't know. I do not know if I'll be attending yet. I am partial to Friday night games on Time Warner Cable Sports Channel at 7 o'clock.
Of course.
Menominee Falls Oak Creek, week one. no, I don't know if I'm going to go there. I just want to, like, thank the schools for doing this, because it was such a rivalry. They met 3 years in a row at state, and two big programs that both wear red, and you know, they thought of themselves very similarly.
The jersey color has everything to do with it.
I think it enhanced the rivalry.
Yeah, okay.
I think it did, sir.
Were you in high school when any of those state? No, you wouldn't have been.
I graduated, yes, several years before.
Okay.
That was my first year here, actually, was covering the 2008 game.
Okay.
But I just want to, like, seriously, the schools are doing this, that they acknowledge how good both programs are, and that they're willing, one of them, to get a non-conference loss to start the year, I think is just really, really cool that they're doing it.
I agree. And I think what you're going to see in terms of on the field, I mean, Homestead might be down. Down is in quotation marks when you're talking about a program as good as Homestead. It means they might even lose three games, perish the thought, but I think Homestead is in a place right now where they did lose a ton from last year. So we're not entirely sure who's going to fill the gaps and whether or not they're going to be a team that will dominate the North Shore again. I think it's like we said before, there's probably four teams that think they can win the North Shore this year at least. And then Arrowhead, meanwhile, just has a lot back. I mean, they played eight sophomores in the state championship game last year against Kimberly. And Kimberly, you know this, replaced their entire defense this year.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I know. So if they should meet again in the playoffs, I mean, there's a real chance that Arrowhead can reclaim that throne of the top Division I team in the state. I mean, right now it's Kimberly, I think, without dispute, is the top team in Division I, at least coming through last year. But now Arrowhead has their entire offensive line back, including a kid who's going to the University of Michigan by the name of Ben Bredesen. You've probably heard of him already. He's probably the number one senior recruit in the state. And then their quarterback is back as well, Johnny Duranzo. And they've got a ton of weapons on defense, a ton of kids, like I said, with some experience in the state championship game. So this is a very good Arrowhead team, and we could talk about the Classic Eight in a minute. But they, like I said, should be favored to win this game. And I think if Homestead hangs with them, it's going to be a very interesting outcome. That's definitely a lot to think about based on what happens in that first game of the season.
Yeah, so that's one of the cool games. I think Sussex-Hamilton also has another to watch. I think Cedarburg-Greendale was last year. That was really fun. So I like the opening games. I know Riverside and Catholic Memorial have had a deal going back for a few years.
Yeah.
So there's always a chance to see something cool the first couple weeks.
Yep.
So I'm excited.
I'll be going to see Sussex-Hamilton over at Franklin. Franklin's really, really good this year. You want to talk about teams that should win their conference in the Southeast. It's really between them, probably Kenosha Indian Trail. Oak Creek is always good, but they lost a lot as well. So right now I think Franklin is probably one of the better area teams we have, one of the legit threats to get to Camp Randall.
Muskego was a dark horse for some for some people this year. I don't know. I mean, like I said, we used to try and pick conferences and go to the teams that we thought might win, but I don't know. I'm having more fun just letting it all play out this year.
Well, and since we are irresponsible and do want to pick some...
A little bit,
make some predictions. You know, staying in the North Shore, as wide open as it is, they're, Whitefish Bay is going to be really good, I think, but they have a lot of youth on their offensive line. I think three sophomores maybe starting on the offensive line. They're playing with heavy hearts. There was a story this last week about their coach, Jim Teachin, who's battling brain cancer. I covered Teachin, one of the first practices I visited, if not, I think it might have been the very first, was a Whitefish Bay practice, and covering Jim Teachin my first year in 2004. So I definitely have had a lot of a lot of chats with him, and I really like the guy. So obviously hoping for the best with him.
He's an awesome guy. Because, I too have been fortunate to cover some Whitefish Bay teams, and now that's my hood too, so I'm have a little tie for them. And Teachin has always been awesome to me and awesome to our station. We broadcast so many games there. Not to mention, he also loves the University of Iowa, and he sent some of his players there, which always helps.
Sure.
I think I'll be heading there this week to hopefully talk to him.
One thing I noticed in putting our preview section together is Whitefish Bay has 8 kids playing Division I football right now, which is a ton, in addition to a kid in the NFL with Nick Ballore, who is now with the San Francisco 49ers. I covered Ballore when he was in high school. A little bit like J.J. Watt, and that I don't think anybody thought that kid... I mean, they thought he was good. I don't think anybody thought, oh, he's going to play in the NFL someday. He's been a special teamer primarily with the New York Jets, but he's now switching over to the 49ers. So Whitefish Bay very well represented at the next level, and they should have a very real chance to win this whole thing. Germantown graduated a ton. Homestead graduated a ton. We've seen flashes from teams like Grafton, Port Washington over the years. Certainly Cedarburg was really good last year, and they graduated a ton. So it's very hard to know who's going to come through that conference.
And so here's the thing with the North Shore that I talked to Fritz Rock about down at Grafton is like, you know, he's been an unbelievable assistant coach and will probably be a very, very good head coach as well. But the thing is, even if he does build a good program at Grafton, even if he does all the right things, who's going to come down? For you to go up into the top four, that means you have to knock somebody down. And how is that going to happen? I mean, the answer is that, well, they have to be the ones to knock them down. You need to get that win over Germantown. You need to get that win over Bay that maybe you're not a conference champ. But if you can put, yes, you lose to Homestead and Cedarburg, but if you can finish 5-3 or, 4-3 in conference, get those other wins against Nicolet and Milwaukee Lutheran, now you're one of those teams, which, coming from Grafton, would be pretty crazy because they have not had a lot of success in football.
No, that would be outstanding.
But they can, and that's what he believes in, and he's excited.
Was it Grafton a couple years ago? Somebody had a crazy game where they almost beat one of the powerhouses, Homestead. I want to say it was Homestead. A really close game, came down to the wire, came down to the last play. I don't remember what that was. That was a couple
years ago.
That
sounds right, but then again, you could also be describing like everything.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, like for example.
Oh, wasn't that one game really close between those teams?
Last year, one that comes to mind is Kettle Moraine, who should have really beaten Arrowhead, lost kind of in the last couple plays of the game on a crazy 99-yard drive. Kettle Moraine had that game in the bag. A big illustration there of how good the Classic 8 was last year and is this year. Kettle Moraine would have won a playoff game. I am fully confident. And they didn't make the playoffs in the Classic 8. They won 3 games. You got to win 4. You got to have an above 500 record. That league is so loaded. I really think it's a strong possibility that there are 3 teams playing for state championships, at the very least in Level 4, with Arrowhead in Division 1, Waukesha West in Division 2, and Catholic Memorial in Division 3. I mean, they've all been to state in recent memory. Last year, both West and Arrowhead finished as runner-up. I think all 3 could play at Camp Randall this year, and that's not even counting on Muskego, who was one of the best offensive teams in the area last year. They started 6-0. They were unbelievable. They hit a couple losses in conference, and they were by a touchdown each. And then they lost a couple players in the playoffs, and that's kind of what got them balanced against McGuanago. McGuanago has got more team speed than they've ever had.
All right, calm down. You're getting a little too riled up.
And even the Waukesha North and South, traditionally teams that have not done well, they're solid teams. South is a very good offensive team. North has a lot of athletes, and honestly, I think those teams would do well in the playoffs too, but somebody's not going to make the playoffs.
Were Classic 8 teams like 16-0 last year after 2 weeks?
14-1, and the only loss was Arrowhead to Homestead.
Ah, that's right.
So that was the irony, that of all teams, it was Arrowhead that had the one loss. But yeah, they were 14-1 through the first...
So that helps prove your energetic, crazy rant there.
And they would have been 15-1, I think, if you count Waukesha South. Waukesha South hadn't... they forfeited. They faced Nicolet. Nicolet, by the way, in the North Shore is coming back to play a full schedule this year. They elected not to play varsity last year and forfeited their schedule. So Waukesha South probably would have had the upper hand there, let's assume. So they would have been 15-1 through 2 weeks, which is really something.
We were talking about the Southeast before, and it's weird. Like, I felt like 5 years ago, that league was one of the best in the state. Back when, like, and it's was back it when Racine Bradford Park? Was, yeah, and back when Bradford was good.
Yep, definitely.
You know, because Racine Park had, I think it was Dion McClain was the running back's name, and that was like my first, maybe my second season covering high school football. I remember just being amazed by him, and then he didn't do anything in college, unfortunately, or didn't go anywhere. But yeah, Park was good. Bradford was amazing.
Won a state title,
and I think Tremper was even good too. And then. I think that was probably before Franklin got good.
Yeah. Well, Franklin's always been decent. Always consistent. Always one of the best passing teams.
They're at another level this, like, in the last 2 or 3 years.
I agree, yeah.
Making it to state a couple years ago.
Yeah, they did go to the state championship, I want to say it was 6. I'm pulling that off the top of my head. Yeah. In Division 2, but, the Southeast.
And now it's weird, because, like, so Indian Trail is actually one of the better teams. Like, they're actually really good. They made it, I think, level 3 in the playoffs last year? So they were good. Franklin is now a state contender. But everybody else, I think, has just fallen off.
Yeah, it seems that way. And I don't know, maybe we'll see. Racine Horlick had, now that I hit the quarterback's name.
From like 2008, 2009?
No. 2 years ago, he was so good. Oh, man, he was a junior. Why can't I think of his name? But Racine Horlick had a really good player there, a really good playmaker. I think, there always seems to be, every team seems to have 2 or 3 kids that are really good. Yeah. I mean, Kenosha Bradford, when they were, winning state titles. They, of course, had Melvin Gordon and Trey Waynes on the same team, and they were both first-round draft picks in the NFL. So very, very good talent in Racine, Kenosha area. Yeah, right now they just seem to be a little bit down.
And, like, Indian Trail took a lot of players from Bradford and Tremper.
Definitely,
so it's understandable that, like, those programs might take a hit, but Indian Trail has done so well that's what's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and I've said this before, compared it before, but when I was in the Fox Valley growing up, was right around the time Appleton North opened up. And Appleton North had new everything. Yeah. It was a new building with new technology and new fields, and everything was nice. So, and I'm sure this was similar to Waukesha when Waukesha West opened up, maybe not quite the same back in the early 90s, but in the late 90s when North opened up, a lot of kids wanted to go to Appleton North. Families wanted to be at Appleton North. And I don't even remember the process by which they doled that out or drew the lines and decided who went where, but Appleton North became really good really fast in my memory. Now maybe I'm forgetting a few years there where they did need to get off the ground, but it's not like it should take a while, because you're getting a pretty healthy amount of people who really want to be there. Yeah. The facilities are outstanding. You're going to be drawing interest from new teachers, new coaches. I mean, best and brightest people who are going to want to be at the new building. And then you wind up with some pretty good sports programs right out the gate. I mean, Appleton North has been one of the best sports programs in the state. And I think that made sense. It made sense that it happened very quickly. That's how I feel about Indian Trail. It doesn't surprise me to see that they're doing this well.
And now all the Appleton schools have turf fields.
It's true. Just like all the Waukesha schools. Yay. And McGuanago and Wauwatosa West new this year have turf fields.
So
Homestead will have it.
So now we're here. Now we're in high school football mode.
That's
from now
right.
until Thanksgiving.
That's right. Speaking of Jed Kennedy real quick, the Greater Metro,
he's
now coaching at Brookfield Central.
Yeah.
There's another wide-open conference. No idea. Marquette, I assume, but Brookfield Central's really good with Kennedy in his second year. Brookfield East is really good still. Menominee Falls has Bryce McMurtry, who's one of the best, I think one of the better players in the area that no one really talks about, because I don't think he has like big-time D1 college offers right now, but just crazy good playmaker.
I feel like at Brook Central, Dominic Labellarte might be my favorite.
Yeah,
maybe
he does have a good Italian name. Yeah,
maybe because of his name.
we have a story actually about Labellarte and TC Swiddle, the quarterback at Tosa, or I should say at Brookfield East. Yep,
Who will be appearing on our high school football preview show Wednesday night at 7:00.
Look at the synergy we have, JP.
We're everywhere, man.
We really are. We have a story about them in our preview section. We have a story about in the Lake Country section about Lake Country Lutheran now getting some lights so they can play on Friday nights home games for the first time.
What about the Woodland Conference?
Oh, you want to go to the
Woodland?
Because
I feel like that, I don't know, now that there's no longer a Zach Bond or a Watt brother.
Or a Josh Ringelberg.
Yeah, I feel like that's a little more open as well.
I agree, definitely. I think this is the first time where if Greendale, let's say Greendale and South Milwaukee win their divisions again, which in the absence of a clear contender, I would say is a likelihood at this point. I don't know who wins that game. I think South Milwaukee is probably at that level now where they should be able to beat Greendale. And Greendale's come down a little bit because they've had such an amazing class the last couple of years. They still bring back 27 kids. They still bring back
Tristan
Pipp, one of the best defensive players in the area. Guy on the line, Witkowski, I think is the name. Really, really good offensive lineman. I know Rob Stoltz really likes their quarterback and their running back, who are new guys, but still people who could, you know how Greendale works. Yeah. I mean, they could easily just be amazing again and have no one back.
Give us one more week and we'll know all these names by heart.
It's true, right?
Because we'll have actual games game happen action. And we'll be good.
It's so funny how you think you know all the team's best players, and then like the leading rusher week one is a kid you legitimately have never heard of. It's a sophomore, or it's someone you didn't know because somebody got hurt, or it's someone you didn't know because they weren't talking about him.
I mean, it's somebody at St. Francis who just went off against Shorewood Messmer or something.
Jake Weidower,
like
the quarterback at St. Francis, is one of the better players there.
I really just threw that out of
Evander Kraft, he's back running.
You can't have an answer like that.
No, maybe. I know, but here is a name to look forward to stay in the greater metro. Brookfield East has a kid, Sam Santiago Lloyd. He played on the team. He's a junior.
Santiago.
he played on the team as a freshman and as a sophomore, but he's battled some serious injuries. At one point, I think it was last year, he was hurt to start the year. He finally came back. He went on a 67-yard run on his first play from scrimmage, got tackled, re-injured his collarbone, and was out for the rest of the year. So this kid is really, I know that Tom Swiddle feels he's really special, has said that in the past. He could be a breakout guy just because he's been hurt. You don't know his name yet, but there's somebody to really keep an eye on.
Nice. Beautiful.
Yeah. So, hey, real quickly, before we get done with we can be done with the football thing.
Yeah.
You were at the PGA Championship.
I was,
at
several
Whistling
days.
Straits. Your impression. Tell me what you saw.
Place is gorgeous.
Well, yeah.
And we are so lucky that is home for us. I can't imagine how many people came from, you know, working media or other people came from around the Midwest and pulled up to Whistling Straits and said, "This is Wisconsin? What, are you kidding me?" I know for a fact that I heard several people call it an ocean while I was on property. I was like, that's actually not true.
You can't tell the difference, though. I mean,
no,
you get so excited
can't.
About oceans, but lakes, you know, Lake Michigan
it's
looks
beautiful.
Like an ocean to us.
And I was talking to, we had Time Warner Cable News from Austin came up to cover Jordan Spieth, an Austinite.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about it, and he said, he joked, anytime you can't see the other side, it's an ocean.
Yes.
So
love it.
We had fun with that, and it's just, I mean, it's so, it's such a big event, which is cool. It's just so cool to be there and be a part of. You know, 40,000 other people all just watching golf. I don't know. I could make the argument it's not actually very spectator friendly. Like, I tried to walk the course, and it's, you know, you have to crane around people, and you know, they don't have jersey numbers on, so you don't exactly know who's walking around at all times.
And there are some exceptions, but for the most part, it's not like these courses are built with. I'm sure they're trying to get majors, but they're not built with spectators in mind.
Yeah.
They're not built with, oh, here's a great place to put some makeshift bleachers behind the tee box. I mean, that's not how.
But it's awesome, and I'm really, really glad that day one, because it's a name, it's a story, as opposed to somebody like a Martin Keimer who won his first major here in 2010. It's like, great, he went on to win a U.S. Open, so obviously he's a good golfer. But like, you have to sell that to people,
right?
Jason Day, we don't have to sell. I mean. One of the best players to never win a major before yesterday. He's crying on the green.
I know, it's wonderful.
Kisses his gorgeous wife, has his adorable baby run up to him and pick him up. I mean, like, that was such a... And you had Spieth in contention the entire time.
Yeah.
McIlroy coming back. Like, it was perfect.
Perfect.
Save for 30 minutes of a 50-mile-per-hour wind gust that ruined a bunch of the scoreboards. It was a perfect tournament.
I said this legitimately, the Thursday before it all began. I really hope Jason Day and Jordan Spieth tie, because I want to see both of them win. And it was basically that. I mean, it wasn't, because obviously Day was
you know,
three
you can't tie in golf?
I did know that.
Okay.
I knew it wouldn't happen that way. I had a hunch. But I was really happy to see that. I mean, the perfect final pairing in my mind on the last green, the last day. Spieth is such, I mean, just ridiculous his season. Two firsts, a second, and a stroke out of the playoff on the fourth. So he's been, those are his major tournaments in 2015. So just an insane, legendary showing.
He pocketed $1.1 million yesterday.
A cool
for
one
getting
mil
second.
Just to hang out for a little bit. By the ocean in Wisconsin.
And Jason Day gets $1.8 million.
Not bad.
So I'm thinking about taking up golf.
Yeah, well, you got some work to do.
Oh, please.
I think
if Tony Finau can do it, I can do it.
You're right. I totally agree with you. And Jason Day is such a seemingly a great guy.
Yeah.
You know, you root for him, even though he's not an American, so he doesn't have that immediate appeal for other
what
Americans.
What a sentence.
Well, but
you root for him even though he's not
how many
American.
People...
I know what you meant.
Yeah, I know.
I know
but
what you
I
meant.
Root for him. I told you, I wanted him to win. I love the guy. And see his kid Marion. Running around. Shut up, JP. Yeah. You're so...
His kid was actually, on Thursday, was running around in a Spider-Man costume.
Because of course he was.
Because why not?
Because why not? And on top of it, it was fun to hear the little kid, like, kind of get upset, because that's totally what my kid would do. Like, hi, Daddy, hey, can we go home? I'm gonna go with Daddy! That's my child as well. I was actually watching with my kid, and I was trying to explain why he was crying, because my kid thought he had lost. My child is three and a half. He's like, oh, we lost. Like, no, we won. He's actually crying because he's happy. Sometimes people cry when they're happy. He's like, where sometimes they cry when they're thinking of things that make them happy. And he turned to me and he's like me? So
then you started crying.
Both touching and extremely self-centered as my child.
So he takes after his father.
He does. Beautiful. Absolutely. So yeah, it was a great event. I'm glad you were there, because I wish I could have been there, but I'm glad that Wisconsin showed pretty well, even though the course took a little bit of a beating in terms of scores. I mean, it was pretty...
It did, yeah. And I don't know how I feel about Jason Day setting a scoring record.
Yeah, here. I know. It's conflicting, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's really, like, it's not like the course played easy. You know, 20 sure. under through 4 days means you just played 5 under each day.
Tiger Woods had trouble with it.
That's because he's a 278th ranked golfer in the world. Of course he did.
He's probably lower now.
Oh, do I hate that man.
You don't hate him. He's still newsy.
He is irrelevant to the sport of golf right now.
I don't agree with that. I agree that he's irrelevant to the actual, like, standings, but not the golf world. People still want to see him play.
Why?
I don't have an
he's
answer to
that.
He's
irrelevant to the sport of golf.
But people still love him.
I would rather talk about some dude that I didn't even know existed before yesterday, Brandon Grace.
Yeah.
For finishing in third or fourth or what, I don't even know. No, but he finished higher than Tiger.
Yep.
It's infuriating.
14
to
under,
me.
I think. Yeah, he had a good.
Infuriating good... to me.
Yeah, I
do. Do you have time for a story?
Do I have time for a story?
A 2-minute story.
Well, sure.
Okay, so on the way back from the course last night, I was talking with our friend from TWC, Austin. We were talking about his favorite golf courses, because he's actually been, like, all over the world, because his dad loves to travel and golf, so he goes with, because of course.
What a great life.
Yeah,
thanks.
So he's been to, like, Pebble Beach, St. Andrews, all this stuff. So I got on a line, to make the long story short, I got on the line. Tiger Woods is St. Andrews. St. Andrews is a historic, amazing course, and, you know, the birthplace of golf. But I looked at it during the British Open. I was like, this is it?
It's very chewed up.
Like, the 18th hole is, like, the ugliest thing I've ever seen. It's just, like, a piece of grass. That's it. So St. Andrews is historic and beautiful, but in today's game, I would much rather have Whistling Straits 1,000 times over than go to St. Andrews. Tiger Woods, so historic. Oh my God, do you remember what he did in the 90s and early 2000s? But right now, he is completely irrelevant. So appreciate the history, sure. But I don't need to go see him now. He's a mess.
I definitely don't. I agree with you completely. In fact, I liked the British Open this year because we didn't really, nobody was really talking about Tiger. Now the PGA, nobody's really talking about him. We are now, but not during the tournament. It was like, oh yeah, Tiger's not doing well. Hey, but look what Jordan Spieth is doing. I mean, Jordan Spieth stole all of that thunder for the second half of the major season. Rightfully so. So yeah, I think we finally reached the point where Tiger isn't the story.
So say, I don't know, in like a normal write-up for your paper, would you include, where would you put Tiger's score? Like, if you did a PGA Championship recap, would you include him in your story?
Yes, I would.
How far down?
I mean, he'd be near the bottom. He'd be an afterthought. He'd be the last graph, last graph.
You know, like, also Steve Stricker finished in a tie for 30th. Tiger Woods did not make the
cut.
From my perspective,
Steve Stricker would be higher because of the local angle. Jerry Kelly would be higher. Then I think Phil Mickelson would be higher because he did better.
Yeah.
But still, there's the Phil.
Like, is Tiger the last sentence?
If he's the worst of this batch, but you're still going to talk about what Phil did, what Sergio did, what Ricky did. I mean, not necessarily in every story, but
if you're
really looking at recapping everything, you're talking about what those name guys are doing.
Because the secret is that I have not done my story yet for the PGA. It ended last night at, you know, I didn't leave the course until
9
o'clock.
You mention him for your purposes, because really, the last 2 days are what matter. And obviously the finish, as good as it was, and the course, and that, you know, I mean, you could talk about the storms from the first part.
Yeah, that's more relevant than Tiger
was. It is. So yeah, for your purposes, when you only get 3-4 minutes to talk about it, I would, he doesn't get mentioned.
There you go.
But my stories are longer, JP. They're more in depth.
Yeah.
And as a reminder, our football preview section does come out this week. You can check out a lot of it on lakecountrynow.com. We've got a story, like I said, about Lake Country Lutheraneting Lights. Jim Herman, a former Arrowhead football player who won a national championship playing with Steve Young over at Brigham Young University. And then in the Now section, we got an interview with Keith Ringelberg, who went from Greendale as an assistant coach to West Allis Central.
West Allis Central. You can see him on our hour-long football preview on Wednesday night.
This is what we call synergy, man. Synergy, we are folks. All locked in.
We have a half hour on Milwaukee teams, half hour on Valley teams, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and then live games start Friday night, Menominee Falls, Oak Creek, week one.
It's going to be a fun ride, everybody.
I still need to decide where I'm going on Friday.
I do not need to decide, so you should come to Franklin and hang out with me.
You hang out like up in the press box.
That's not true. Not anymore. Not on turf fields. I don't like the October muddy, cold bologna sausage. I want to sit up on top. And here's the other thing about standing on the sidelines that everyone seems to love. You can't see the half of the field.
Oh, it's terrible.
You have no idea. Did the guy carry it for 3 yards or 17 yards? Well, you don't know.
Why don't you move your feet once?
Look, I've done that. I've done that. And then I wind up tired in addition to not knowing what's going on. Forget that. I'm going to stand in one rough place. I might take a little video. I'm going to tweet things.
You are the youngest 75-year-old I've ever seen.
I just want to stay
in one spot.
That's exactly true. Also, I can't just tweet. It doesn't matter. We'll talk about this some other time.
All right.
Hey, but enjoy going to the games this weekend, and we'll check in with you again. We got to talk about Homestead Arrowhead on the other side of this. So, thanks for listening to our podcast.
Goodbye, friends.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.